The following is an encore presentation of Sam Nation.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC, and it's 7 o'clock, live from Los Angeles. I've left the bunker. That's right. Made my way up here, and it's beautiful to see all of you. How's everybody doing here? Everybody's good. Audrey, always nice to see you. Yeah, in the flesh. So if you are calling in, 800-222-5222 is the number. Also, my email, sam@samnation.com, continuing to check that as per usual. You will be talking to the lovely Audrey, who will take your calls and then wink at me. Yes? No? Okay. I'll take what I can get. Colin, great to see you too. France, everybody, nice to be here. And I really need to visit more often. It's just, I work so far away from my colleagues. And that's really what it is. So it's really nice. It's just really nice to see them from time to time. This is great. Charlottesville. Let me tell you what my thoughts are on this. This weekend I was coming up the 405, and I happened to be slightly ahead of a firefighter funeral. And if you've ever been to a firefighter funeral or a police officer funeral, well, so over every on ramp, every bridge across the freeway, there was a fire engine with American flags hoisted. In fact, on a number of bridges there were ladder engines. With some of the largest, I think I've never been that close to some flags that were as big as the ones that I saw. And as I'm coming up the freeway, I was nearly in tears. Because for me, the thing that gets me, it's the American flag. For me, the American flag is the ultimate symbol. It means, and if you know me and you've listened to the program, you know that for my family, this country was a destination for which a tremendous amount of sacrifice was laid down. And the flag represents that. When I think about our colors as a nation, I think of red, white, and blue. I don't think about anything else. And I'm actually enraged anytime any side. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm equivocating the way Trump is accused of mincing his words. I'm offended when any side of either ideology makes race an issue. When it comes to the American flag and free speech, because Charlottesville, what happened in Charlottesville has to be examined through the free speech filter. That's the critical issue. I'm going to put on my lawyer hat and try to navigate us through this, because going back to that flag, there is probably nothing. Well, no, but there are few things that offend me as greatly as someone burning the flag. That to me, it's more than the fabric, okay? It's a symbol, and it's a symbol that means something very important to me. But we have the right to do it. We have the right to say it. We have the right to say horrible things. And in this debate right now, I want to circle back to the most important thing here is to understand the difference between language and overt acts. So things that come out of our mouth versus the things that we do. Because, and I saw clips of people saying things in Charlottesville, of these Nazis walking down the street and saying the most vile things. I can't even pretend to begin to understand where it comes from. And I think too young. You'll very rarely hear me say this, that I don't know, but I don't know. I am not Dr. Drew. I cannot look into these people's minds, and figure it out. I don't get it. And you probably don't either. But what matters is the difference, the legal difference between speech and action. So these vile racists and anti-Semites and probably a whole lot of other things got a permit to organize a race, a march, excuse me. And the march, the way these things work is the Constitution prohibits really much of any restriction on free speech. And the one narrow exception is time, something called – this is lawyer speak, but it's time, place, and manner. And it means that you can't regulate the content of speech, but you can – government can say, no, it's not safe for you to speak here, or if you're planning a big rally, you can't have it in a small square. You have to have it in a bigger place. You need a permit, okay, which is what these guys got. They got a permit. And that's mostly so that the police have advance notice and can be there on hand to do their thing. And you have to follow the permit. But the key thing is they can't regulate the speech itself. Because in all of this, and there's a great quote from Mencken, H.L. Mencken. He says, the trouble with fighting for human freedom is that one spends most of one's time defending scoundrels. And you know this, if you're a civil rights attorney, if you're a free speech attorney, I mean, it's kind of like criminal law. You're always defending douchebags, okay? Because people that are testing the limits, both in taste and in time and place, right? But it has to be done. And he says, for it is against scoundrels that the oppressive laws are first aimed, and oppression must always be stopped at the beginning, or else it's never going to be stopped. So I was flipping through the news this week, and I'm trying to follow everything that's going on. And Karl Rove, and we're talking about Charlottesville, and this, I want to get to what I think is the crucial issue here: separating action from speech. Speech is permissible. And we are a country that by design allows for people to say things that are totally repugnant. And I know, and as I'm listening to different evaluations of this, I worry that when people say something like, we must not tolerate this type of speech, I hope that what that means is we must not stand idly by and we must vigorously debate the speech. We must drown it out with our voices. But we shouldn't rush into the street and start beating people over the heads. You're no better than the Nazis with their sticks. That's not who we are as a country. I saw a picture of a police officer, of a black police officer, standing and protecting the Nazi protesters, the Ku Klux Klan protesters. And you know what? That's who we are. That's America. That's the country that I love. It's unique. You're not going to find something like that anywhere else in the world. And we need to embrace it. And that's why, as I'm going through these channels, I just lost my mind. Karl Rove was up, and he's keeping very active on the commentary circuit. And I would say he's more of a, you know, more of an anti Trump guy, right? He's the Bush protege, and so former chief of staff, actually, for George W. Bush, and he's talking on Fox Sunday Morning here with Maria Bartiromo, and he's talking about how, well, this is his take. I want you to listen to this because I had a visceral reaction to this. I almost broke out in hives as I'm hearing Karl Rove say this.
Let's be clear. This occurred because a group of white racist supremacists, Nazis, chanting anti-black, anti-Jewish slogans, marched through the city of Charlottesville in a deliberate attempt to provoke a confrontation. Now, was there violence perpetrated by the counter-protesters? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But this occurred because a group of white supremacists attempted to provoke a confrontation, and the president should have, in my opinion, condemned them in the kind of terms that his attorney general
did. Yeah, no.
Yeah, okay. And now here's the scoop. So it's the Nazis' fault. They're the ones who showed up, used terrible language in an effort to provoke a fight. That could have been their motivation exactly. But let me ask you again, if I'm your criminal defense attorney and I'm representing you after a bar fight, no, I'll say after an assault, for an assault charge, and you say, well, he called my mother a hoe, all right? And I punched him in the face. It's not a defense. It's really not a good defense at all. It's what we're taught in school. Remember on the playground, you know, he said, well, I had to punch Johnny. He was calling me names. And what does the teacher tell you? Teacher says, doesn't matter. You threw the first punch. Because that's an effort to prepare children for adulthood. So here, in this entire now storm and brouhaha brewing over Charlottesville, I'll get into the Trump's reaction and what he said later. But the critical thing for me is that anti-Semitism, as repugnant and vile as it is, racism, as repugnant and vile, and all this is also stupid. It's evil, but as speech, it's not illegal. Only violence that's done in the name of either of these two things is illegal. And we have to stick to that distinguishing standard. Otherwise, over time, as we begin to find things that we don't like, well, that's hate speech, and that's offensive, and that's hurtful, we'll end up as a country being one of these silly college campuses with their safe zones and their, you know, their established, I don't know, P corners, wherever you, you know, you go to do your thing, and microaggression free areas. At some point, we have to be cognizant that there are a handful of loonies out there in our midst who are nuts. They're crazy. And you cannot let it provoke you. Now, of course, this is where the distinction has to be made. The minute that you know, shots are fired, baseball bats are swung, or as we saw here with this terrible guy, James Fields, 20 years old, and drove that car right into the. I mean, that is the moment where the criminal act occurs. That's where the criminal act occurs. But I'm concerned because I think this debate right now is evolving around Charlottesville into we cannot tolerate the speech. I hope that what that means is that we should not tolerate it with our speech, and we should fight it back wherever we see it and call it out for what it is. Now, the other part of this that I think is just as fascinating to me, and I have as many strong feelings about it. I want to unpackage this as we go through the hour. I see this response from the left regarding Trump's now two statements as being this is crocodile tears. Okay, this this reaction that Trump is I'm laughing. I'll play some clips and like kind of take us through it. But the critical thing here is violence happens on both sides. Trump, in his initial statement where he said that, was absolutely correct. And it's mystifying to me. I'm fascinated by it. I mean, you remember the shooter in Alexandria? So you had the guy that kind of the crazy Bernie Sanders supporter, James Hodgkinson was his name. He goes and he starts shooting up a Republican congressman at the baseball game back in June. Every time anybody tried to say, well, you know, the media really provoked him into that. And it was just, I mean, no, none of that. Absolutely not. It's not. This is a lone wolf, a lone guy acting. There's something about TV screens, by the way, in all of this. Something about TV screens that, you know, you'll take something very small will look a lot bigger than it is. Something very small will become enlarged on a screen, and that's because you get a shot of a bunch of people. By all accounts, even according to the Huffington Post, what you have, you've got 300 neo-Nazis We're a country of 340 million? It is such a tiny, tiny little fraction of people. And I bring, I just say because you've, we absolutely must get to a place where we got to get over. I'll go through this. There are great examples of this on both sides. And I'll tell you what Trump's next steps are more than likely going to be. All right, Sam Rogowski, we're live in Los Angeles here at the Culver City Studios, KBC 790. Back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Back here in Culver City, live from the Los Angeles studios. Great to be here. 800-222-5222 if you want to be on the show. Sam@samnation.com is the email. So I'm already pushing buttons with this, talking about Charlottesville. And for me, the critical thing, the critical test here is free speech. And I gotta have to tell you this too. The Supreme Court over the years has been very, very, very reluctant to make the type of changes that I think some people in the media are suggesting right now, because people are saying, "Well, yeah, we've got to increase our hate speech laws." Right? There's a guy that punched one of the organizers of the rally. This Nazi guy named Jason Kessler. And the guy that punched him, his name is Jeff Winder. And here's a quote that was today in the New York Times. Jeff Winder said, "Jason Kessler has been bringing hate to our town for months and has been endangering the lives of people of color and endangering other lives in my community. Free speech does not protect hate speech." That's his quote. Only problem with it is he's dead wrong. He's just dead wrong. According to the Constitution. Now, I think there are probably a number of people on the in the left, and not least among them, Barack Obama himself, constitutional law professor once upon a time, who wish we could do away with some of these pesky constitutional limitations. Remember he would say this? "Oh, this Constitution, I really wish it was more of a living document type of thing, you know, give us more flexibility to get the change done that we need." Well, thank goodness we've got the Constitution. One of the core parts of it is the First Amendment. Why do you think it came first? It was pretty damn important. And it was important back then the same reason it's important today. We need to allow ideas, even bad ideas, to fail or to win or succeed in the free marketplace of ideas. This is so crucial. So if somebody wants to be a racist idiot, let them. They look ridiculous. I don't know about you, but they're not winning anybody over. They're not marching on the street of people going, "Wow, you know, God, what a solid group of gents those guys are." Nobody's saying that. People are looking at them going, "What a bunch of dummies." That is exactly what that's on the small TV screen that is beamed across 300 million plus households. That is exactly what people see. A bunch of dummies. It's vile, but it doesn't mean that we should bar that speech at its outset. Now, all right, we got a couple callers. I got to get to this. So Steve in LA, welcome to the program, Steve.
Hey, welcome. Do you remember a guy named Dylan Ruth, real young, a youngster around 18 years old, or how old was he? I forget now, but he wasn't more than 21. He was won over by that kind of speech. And, you know, that kind of hate speech. So don't say that it doesn't win people over. It
well,
does.
You know, I'll tell you.
So do you remember him? Do you remember Dylan Ruth? I just want to know if you remember him.
I don't.
Any of your callers who kind of agree with you, I wonder if they remember him.
Well, let me say this, because I think you're saying that, okay, don't equate Nazis right to Black Lives Matter or anything like that. Is that what you want to say something about that? Everybody gets, okay, people get won over by hate speech or by impassioned speech or whatever you want to call it. People get won over by speech, sure. And it goes both ways. I mean, you want to talk about the funny thing about Black Lives Matter. There are people in that movement that were won over and went off and shot cops. I mean, that happened. Real incident, right? But we can't bar the speech. I don't know how long you've listened to the program, but I mean, I remember in this these rallies where they're Black Lives Matter shouting dead cops. When do we want it now? Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. That was back in 2015. So but it's speech, and unless it really is advocating immediate violence, immediate action, and that immediacy is the constitutional test. Okay, that's something that you got to remember. Immediacy. An immediate exhortation to action. If you've got that, then you've got a problem. Then you've got a violation. But until that, even if we don't like it, we still got to have it. All right, we got John Wolf up next with the news, and I'll be back. Hang on to the phone, please. I'll get back to more calls when we get back. Sam Rzhovsky, over now.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, live from Los Angeles, 7:30 here, just past the bottom of the hour. 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com is the email. Now, I had to kind of cut last segment short, running out of time up against the clock, but we had a caller, Steve, talking about, I guess, people that are radicalized by a so-called hate speech. And this is all in the context of Charlottesville. And I want to put something out here. If you try to ban any type of speech that, let's say, inspires somebody to do something crazy, what kind of uniform law are you going to write? Because I'm always looking at it. I want to know, what's the law going to look like? When you go to law school, you read a lot of laws. When you practice as an attorney, you read even more laws. So you're always reading these laws, and sometimes you look at them, and they're really carefully crafted and written perfectly, and they go, oh, that makes sense. But I don't – free speech, the First Amendment's pretty basic. And the subsequent limitations of it through various court decisions are fairly straightforward too. But when you start to carve out various exceptions and you see – by the way, I should have asked Steve this, what he would think if we banned the Quran. Because my guess is that the Quran's, radicalized a few people over the years. It's not too controversial of a statement, is it? So – You see how if you've got something that you don't like, Steve does not like Nazis. Well, good. Steve and I have that in common. So guess what? There are things that maybe Steve likes that I could make an argument for have the same effect as what he's trying to prevent over here with these protesters. It is a dangerous and slippery slope. And I don't want to go down it. And our founders were wise enough to recognize this. In Europe, in many countries in Europe, you really have some quite severe limitations on speech. How prescient was this? Remember last week, we were talking about some free speech issue. And I mentioned the guys that came from Beijing who showed up at the airport at Frankfurt in Germany and started, doing some little joking Nazi salutes. Yeah, don't do that in Germany. You're done for. They literally got scooped up by the Federales and put right back on that plane and sent back to China. It's not funny. Now, in the context of this Charlottesville debacle and tragedy, what are people looking at? People probably look at that, some people on the left, and say, wow, that, we ought to have those kind of rules. But what happens when they come for your speech? What happens when they come for what you want to express and say? And you can't make a law that specifically starts to exclude certain things. I mean, I'm the best example of this. The best example are these college campuses where, you know, it's just – it gets to the point where you can – it's vanilla. That's not a racial term. I'm just saying. It's vanilla. It's boring. You can't say anything. You can't express an opinion. It sucks. And I know this is for me. I mean, what's my prejudice here, if I have one, is that I like expressing my opinion. I do. I like saying what's on my mind. And then I really enjoy when someone tells me I'm wrong, and I enjoy debating them. And I don't want to be looking over my, you know, over my shoulder here and worrying that the police are going to show up and arrest me. My parents fled a country where that was normal. So I guess, you know, you want to measure. I mean, I see some calls here. I'm just running out of time. But this Nazism equivalent to the people that are fighting it. And this is the debate, right? This is the debate. Nazis are the worst. Well, I'm from Europe. You know what? The communists have quite a body count, too, guys. There are a lot of dead people because of communism. So you want us to put a ban on advocating for communism, ergo socialism? You see where this is going? You know, Bernie's going to kind of, you know, end up blacklisted. I'm just saying. You don't want that. All right. You know, Democrats, speaking of the Klan, there one of the most famous Democrats was an actual member of the Klan. Not that long ago in my lifetime. This is so absurd. I got to tell you that story. And all right, don't go anywhere. Sam Murjovsky back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Murjovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. So, if you get into a car accident, you're just minding your own business, you're on the freeway, you're traveling somewhere, maybe you got the kids in the car, and bam, just like that, a car hits you. And you know what? What happens after that is what's important, because don't make the mistake that so many good people do when they get into an accident and they try to do the case on their own and they try to call the insurance company and try to have everything and it doesn't work. It doesn't get anywhere. Why? The insurance company doesn't care. They want to save money. That's what they want. So here's what you got to do. You got to call Sweet James Bergner, the attorney that we trust here on the program, to get the job done for you. Give Sweet James a call. He's got an easy number, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. No recovery, no fee. You don't pay anything until he gets your case done. So do it. Also, he's got a website. Really easy, nice to use. Check it out. SweetJames.com. All right, Sam Murjovsky back behind the Sam Nation microphone. And I promised, well, a couple of things here. I promised to also talk about Trump and his reaction, but a quick little tidbit. You know, when the Democrats get all high and mighty and accuse Trump of being this crazy white supremacist, total nonsense, right? Total nonsense. Trump has a long history of promoting and advancing people of color. I don't even have to. I feel dirty for even having to respond to it. But when I was a kid, when I was a teenager growing up, I remember Robert Byrd, a senator, Robert Byrd. And this guy was like at the time one of the longest serving members of the U.S. Senate. And this guy, where was he? Was he from Alabama? What state was he from? Virginia, from West Virginia. And you know this, you know that at one point in his career, he was as a, this position, by the way, the Klan has all these odd positions, funny names for things. He was an exalted cyclops. He was a legit member of the Klan. And this guy was in office for, forever. I mean, 40 years, something like that. So I'm, you know, I can't remember. It's nuts. I mean, the Democrats have their people there too. I mean, and of course when he died and was exalted and there's pictures of Hillary Clinton embracing him. They were giving each other hugs and, you know, and little French kisses, you know, little on both cheeks type of deal. Gross. Disgusting. And I didn't see any calls to disavow him, right? That's the context for all this. Trump needs to disavow. Disavow. What the hell does that mean? Here's his second statement, what he said. And this is exactly him talking about the Klan and explaining what evil is. Have a listen.
Racism is evil. And those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans. We are a nation founded on the truth that all of us are created equal. We are equal in the eyes of our Creator. We are equal under the law, and we are equal under our Constitution.
Now, you know what's interesting is that Trump got some blowback from the statement, from conservatives who said, hey, come on, you're capitulating. You're giving in and you're playing to all your critics that are saying, you know, you got to disavow, you got to disavow. And, you know, I actually really like the statement, and I like it because he says racism is evil. And I'm going to add my little asterisk in there, which is it's evil but not unlawful. And then his statement says, and those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs. And this is exactly what I was explaining earlier. It's about the overt act. That until words turn into action, that's when it crosses the legal line. And the example I gave earlier, I think it holds true. You know, in an assault and battery charge, nobody cares about the words that were exchanged beforehand. Did you punch someone? Don't punch people. Don't hit people. And his earlier statement about violence on both sides. I mean, you know, do I have to keep going around about this? Antifa, you remember the professor that whacked some guy on the head with a bike lock just because he didn't like what he was saying. That's not okay. And I think the entire conversation about speech and violence, political violence in reaction to political speech. I'm going to throw this out there. You can think about this while we go to a quick break here, but. Do you have a Trump hat? Maybe some of you do. I know I do. The million-dollar question I have is, do you feel safe wearing it? Think about that. I'll be back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC, live in the studio here up in Culver City. Really great to be here. And we're talking about Charlottesville. And very specifically, tolerance, because that's what this is about. We, you know, when they say don't tolerate ignorance, don't tolerate hate speech, don't tolerate vile racism, agreed, debate it, speak out against it, but don't clobber people with the stick. If you are looking at those rightly, looked at those protesters, you know, with their baseball bats and whatnot. Look, don't be them. Be bigger than them. So I think that's the important thing here. And I one little part of this that keeps coming into my mind, and so I want to get to it. Do you know anyone that has a Trump hat, by the way? Because I think one of the things that really just bothered me, just really bothered me from this protest is seeing those disgusting, you know, neo-Nazi guys wearing Make America Great Again hats. And you know why? Because obviously that hat means something very different to me. No. Hold on. I'm going to change that around. Actually, that hat clearly must mean something very different to them. Because I'm with the, I don't know, however many millions of Americans that that actually kind of are behind the whole Make America Great Again thing. And Make America Great Again, I'm sorry, has nothing to do with racial superiority, race, racism, nothing. It does if you, you know, follow the Huffington Post and are a Politico, maybe a Politico subscriber, or watch John Oliver. I get it. I mean, you know, that's the opinion, that prevailing opinion out there. But I will, I tell you, I wonder what would happen to me. Now, I'm in Culver City right now. Show's going to be over in a few minutes. And what's going to happen? I don't have my hat with me. But let's say that I went for a little walk tonight in downtown. What, Franz is shaking his head. Don't do it. Franz would stop me from doing it. Debbie too. Okay, well, so but what's the point? So why? Why is that? Because you're at home, you're shaking your head, you're telling me not to do it either. That's not who we are as a country. Okay, so you don't like my hat. But people are getting beaten up all the time. And you know why? Because there is this absolutely wrong idea that people who are pro-Trump, okay, that in other words, people that maybe disagree with you are pro-Trump, they don't have the same opinions as you, that they are so bad, they're so horrible, they are so vile that they deserve nothing more than to get beaten up, than to be degraded. And you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like fascism. Okay? That sounds like a codification of discrimination in Germany in 1936 called the Nuremberg Laws. That's what that sounds like to me. And it's not okay. It's not who we are. So in this crazy stuff that's going on, I think we just need to take a deep breath. And yeah, Trump should have doubled down a little more on that first statement of his, which is, yeah, political violence is coming from both sides. Now, the fact of the matter is you had a death and some very serious injuries at what now turns out at the hands of a Nazi, you know, white supremacist sympathizer. Obviously not okay. And the guy ought to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But these, you know, crocodile tears from the left, as I called them earlier, they upset me because the people who are moving from speech to violence are present on both sides. There are crazies on both sides. And these 300 people that showed up, or 350 or whatever it was, these neo-Nazis, they're not part of Making America Great Again. They should take those hats off and stick with their, you know, their Klan gear or whatever it is that they're wearing. I don't know. I think this was a very upsetting thing. All right. So what do we got? We're going to follow this tomorrow. I'm sure there'll be other things developing as we go through this. I'm going to be back tomorrow, back in the bunker, down south, and I look forward to talking to you then. Yeah, and listen, you got to check out the podcast. If you've missed any portion of the show, please always go to podcast. sam@samnation.com is the email address, and I appreciate all of you so much. It's so great to be here. I love this hour every day of my life. Thank you, Sam Brzozowski. Back tomorrow, 7 o'clock.